We're going to go through a lot of different passages of Scripture, but most of them will be on the screen for you. But what I'd like to do is I've done it before, but since the God working on our hearts and lives to find God's will, which was really wasn't easy. You could use the word tough. You could use a lot of things. And we'll explain some of that possibly through the evening. But what I'd like to do is show you through God, finding God's will, practical principles for knowing God's will for your life. And we're going to hit what God's will for your life is. And then we're going to hit some practical things. And then I'll try to show you at least a few things how God showed us in these areas. But first of all, I want to establish something that you already know, but I want it to be under Scripture. Here are verses concerning the will of God. If you don't think as a believer that God has a will for you, you're sadly mistaken. Listen to Scripture, and that develops it. Luke 22:42. Father, if you are willing, who's speaking there? Jesus Christ. Remove me from this my cup, yet not my will, but yours be done. Does God have a will? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So his will there would be not only to do his will, but what he's talking about is obedient to him. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Would you say that we should be doing the will of God if the Son of God is telling us that he practiced it to show us? For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up in the last day. For this is the will of God, my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. And since he would not be persuaded, we fell asleep, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. Acts 24:14. Romans 1:10, always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. So that I may come to you in the joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company, Romans 15:32. So that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company, Colossians 4:12. Are you starting to get the hint what the Lord is trying to show us, truth-wise? So as to live the rest of our time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God, 1 Peter 4:2. He said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. His servant, God guiding him to the right place for his spouse. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsels of the nations. He frustrates the plan of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. This all introduces the sovereignty of God and his what? Will. Psalm 135:6, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deeps. Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the hosts of the heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? Ephesians 1:11-12, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first in hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. We see the will of God is to glorify God in every aspect. And then probably one of the most familiar for us is Matthew 6:9-10. Pray then in this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your what? Will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you believe God has a will for you? Personally, do you? He sure does. And what we're going to look at, practical principles for knowing God's will for your life. But let me lay a foundation first. And that would be, you must set God's will as a priority by seeking God's direction for your life. So what are we saying here? What should be your priority in life as a believer? Go ahead, you can say it. The will of God. You must set God's will as a priority by seeking God's direction in your life. For the more one follows his will as revealed in his word, has God revealed certain things in his word that is the will for you? There's things you don't have to pray about, and tonight we're going to go through some of those. And then you realize the closer that we are to the guide, the greater will be our what? Our guidance. The closer you stay to God, the harder it is to miss it. I don't have time to want to steal a man's message, whatever, the whole thing, but I had mentioned before I'd been listening to Mark Minnick's message on decisions, the two-part series. And if you'd like to help you on that, it's great messages, but he takes Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, and he gives different aspects of decision-making, God's will. And at the end, the second one, he goes at the end and he gives, I think, four, five, or six, something like that, things that will happen in God's will. And sometimes when it's God's will, it's not going to happen like you thought, and you could have been sincere, praying, everything. But that wasn't God's purpose. That's God is sovereign. We will not understand it this side of heaven. But the other side we will. And I thought that was one that I really learned on. One of the things he said, well, many times it is God's will. Because one thing that I've always been wondering, was it really God's will for me to go to the ministry we went to after the camp down in Florida? It was good times and hard times. And I really wondered, it was that much. And I realized, no, that was God's will. And then after I heard this message, that I'm going, yeah, just because it doesn't go the way you want doesn't mean it is. And so the closer you come to the guide, the greater will be your guidance, and then you can walk through it. Because the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Remember this, you still have responsibilities. You make the right decisions, and it affects other people's. But they have to make the right decisions too. Everyone has to make the right decisions. If they make the wrong decisions, then there's things that God's using because don't want to get ahead of myself. All right? So there are some practical prerequisites for guidance when you're looking for God's will. There's practical prerequisites. And as I went through this in my own life in this situation, because you've got to understand, one of the things that is very hard for me is I've always believed this, first of all, that we always seem to separate full-time Christian service, that it's different, and I believe that all believers should be in full-time Christian service. We should all be fully, every time, all the time serving God. I believe in your jobs. You're in, I could go by each one of you and your occupations. I mean, you're in full-time Christian service. And we always put these little quotes on occupational and that, oh, they're the spiritual ones. No. And my whole life, I know nothing other than full-time ministries, except for a few years, of course, when I'd had different jobs that way, but then still serving, but having different jobs that way. And so this was one that I know that I'm going into a place now where, in quote, I'm not going to be getting paid for a full-time ministry. And I'm saying, what are people going to think? God called me to preach, and I started wondering about, and I'll, at the end, I'll, again, zero that in on how that came about. But there's practical prerequisites as for our guidance that I had to look at. I knew these things, but I had to have a mental conversation with God about them. And there's practical requisite that these things, places in God's word that he says, this is the will of God for you. You need to be obeying that. And so the practical prerequisites for guidance, and then we'll go specifically to them. There's six of them. Before we get into the discernment of them, we see the determination of it, but then the discernment of it. First of all, we need to recognize our need. Do you need to be in the center of God's will as a believer? I want to see you that you're not sleeping or anything. You're naps, right? You need to be in the will of, recognize your need for the will of God. We need to be willing to be guided, be teachable. It's one of the things I just received and I praise the Lord that I wish he knew my heart. I realize that not all the time that's the soul. But I received a card from Adam. He called it grandfather's card because he's so excited about his boy being born in a little bit. And he just said to me in that card, he says, Dad, one example that you've been to me is you're teachable. Because he understood how hard this was for me to do this. And he just says, thank you for that example. You see, we need to be willing to be guided. Don't think you know it all. We need to recognize our need for the will of God's, and then we need to be willing to be guided. And thirdly, we need to walk close to that guide. So here it's put in a nutshell. You depend on God for just a few things or everything. You know, I thank the Lord every time I eat for the monies that he gave us to eat. We had the deacons over on Friday night and their wives, and I was thanking the Lord for the monies he gave us so we could buy that, the food. It really does come. We need to depend on God for everything. Listen, there were times where I was really crying out, and really, I mean, I was emotions and not knowing what, in essence, probably knowing what I should do, but I'm not sure. I want to make sure it's what God has. I need to depend on God. Number two, then, that didn't obey God. You need to do it. And then have an intimacy with God, a personal, private time with him. And he's promised to direct you. We could go all through this, written Proverbs, you know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we could go to Proverbs 16, 1 through 3, about his plan and his direction. God's man's plan are his ways, but God's the one who guides the lips. And so in finding God's will, then we've got to understand that, first of all, we see God's will determined. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, or pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and pleasing or acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. That's our reasonable service. Our reasonable worship. And that we know that God has a will. And so then after we realize God's will has a will and we're obeying that, then we need to discern it. Teach me to do thy will, Psalm 143:10 says, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Notice, what does he say? When he says, teach me to do thy will, what's implied here? What? He already what? Knows the will. If God is saying, the psalmist is saying, teach me, God, to do thy will, it's the implication is what? I already know it. So teach me to do it. To be obedient. How to do it. Let me completely depend on you and let you guide me. So with that in mind, we need to look at what God's will for us is in Scripture. Here's the determination. These you and I need to have in our life. And I'll put all these together at the end, as far as at the end of this section, to show you, and I'll even say, well, we'll go. Now I get ahead of myself. Do you know that it's God's will? It's God's will for you to be saved. It's God's will that all men be saved. Look what Scripture says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, as we look at that in Scripture, let me see if I missed something there. No. We realize that Scripture also says in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So is it God's will for all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? That'd be that sanctification. Is it his desire and want for all people to be saved? Yes. Now, we're talking to the choir here because, Lord willing, you know, as I look at your profession of faith, your manifestation, we claim as Jesus as our Savior. But you've got to realize if you're not saved, you can't find God's will. Now, God might do something in a person's life because it's going to be his will, but they're not going to know realize from God and different things because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. And many times God might do things in his providence over and beyond. But then also it's God's will for all men to be Spirit-filled. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, we understand that as liquor controls someone, we have to let the Spirit of God control us. You know the illustration I've used about the orange. You squeeze an orange, what comes out is orange juice. Take another orange, you get a blue dye in a needle and put syringe and put it in that orange. And you squeeze that orange, what comes out? Blue orange juice. You see, what's inside something when it's squeezed comes out. Now listen, you and I, as believers, automatically have who indwelling in us? The Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit. And we are controlled by that. But let me share one other way at what else is controlled by the Spirit. You say, okay, but is this, you could say you do something and it'd be wrong. It'd be actually another passage of Scripture possibly where is it wrong, but he says, but I'm controlled by that. My Spirit's telling me to do that. It's not your Spirit. Or excuse me, it might be your Spirit because it isn't the Holy Spirit. But turn your Bibles over to familiar Scripture. We've looked at it before. But I want to see the parallel. Because the parallel passage here in Ephesians 5 here, where it talks about being filled with the Spirit, verses 17, notice it even says there, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be a fool. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And he says, this is what the will of the Lord is to be controlled by the Spirit, and how that is manifested, and he goes in, your husband-wife relationship, your relationships to one another. It says, submit yourselves one to another, then your children, and then their children to you, and then your workplace. The Lord goes through all that, and it's the same context that he talks about in Colossians, and so we can have the same parallel when it says, what is being spirit or controlled by? Look at Colossians chapter 3, and you'll see it starts in verse 14, it talks about the same idea. Above all these things, put on love and charity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And in Ephesians 5, notice what it says about being filled with the Spirit. It then goes on and says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What is that? Does that sound familiar? So what is being controlled by the Spirit? It's being controlled by the word of God. You go to God's word and you're controlled by his word. That is God's will for your life. If you're not controlled by his word and you're in it, you're not going to be able to find. You might find something might be for fine, but you won't find his perfect will. You'll struggle. Well, then it's not only God's will that all men be saved, all men be sanctified, or Spirit-filled, but all men to be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Okay, the will of God is your sanctification. Now, in this passage, the context is, starts out, you abstain from sexual sins. Then it goes into workplace and control the vessel. But the will of God for you is to be set apart from the world unto God. And to be sanctified, to be holy. Be holy even as I am holy, the Lord says in Peter. So here's the fundamental truth. God's will is for all men to be saved. God's will that you be spirit-filled. You be controlled by the Spirit. Don't be unwise. Don't be a fool. A fool is not controlled by the Spirit. He's controlled by his own spirit. He makes provision for the flesh and lets that control him. Then, we need to be spirit, and then be sanctified. You set apart yourself unto God from the world and clean up. Make sure there's nothing between your soul and the who? And the Savior. The song, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. Nothing between. And then, fourthly, it's God's will to be submissive to authority. Oh, what a ticker. You mean I got to submit to these unsaved people around me? That's one of them. That's one of them, to be submissive to authority. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, for this is the will of God. Notice every one of these sins, this is the will of God for you. You don't have to pray about these things. This is God's will for you. That with well-doing, ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So we are to be submissive. In fact, we can go to Hebrews and it talks about submissive to the spiritual leaders, the pastors. We can go another place and it talks about in Ephesians 5:21, submitting in relationships one to another. We then could go family and relationships and employers. All of those, it's God's will for you to submit to them, rank under, respect them, revere. Unless they tell you what? What we got to make scripture, remember, we can be controlled by the Spirit, unless they tell you to sin. That's never right. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. Dr. Bob Sr. said years ago. So it's God's will that you and I be submissive to authority. Are you submissive to the authority around you? What's your attitude? From government to all those other authorities, family. I will probably use this in a little bit, but when Marshall Fant was here, we were talking in the afternoon of the meal, and he said something about what he thought about timing for this and that. And I gristled at it. And I really wasn't authority, but it was a revering that I went for a counsel. And I had to get over that and realize, you know. So then what I caused myself to do is I stopped. Started talking to the Lord and started thinking about it, waiting on it. And through the hours and time and days, God showed me, hey, I see. So we need to be submissive to the authority that's over us. And then number five, to be suffering for doing right. Did you know that? As a believer, you will. In our day and age, it's a little different right now. But it would be trials and tribulations that will come in for you. 1 Peter 3:17 says, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for doing evil. It's God's will. You come suffering for doing right. You lose your job. When we were on vacation, Aaron was still here before they left, and on Sunday, Brenda and I decided to go to Inner City Baptist Church. It was the place where I was a youth pastor I figured it was 46 years? Yeah, 46 years. 46 years ago, I started there as youth pastor. And one of my teenagers is assistant pastor there now. That was one of my teenagers. The pastor I know he would have been in college when I was there. He's a lot younger than I am. He's Brenda's age. And so, wonderful expositor of words. We wanted to go there and see people, and we ended up having dinner with them and the guy that was the assistant that was my youth pastor and had a wonderful time with them after the service. But during the service, we would go there, and I said, I bet you, I wonder if I'm gonna, who I'm going to see at all. And we just got out of the car. We walked in, and I looked, and I said, that's Mr. Archibald. I was surprised I even remembered. But that's Mr. Archibald. He came, and he sort of looked and took a double take, talked to him a little bit, started seeing different ones. After the service, there was some daughters of a man that was at inner city that came to us and said, hi, I'm the Reese's daughter. We talked about him, and I said to him, hey, make sure that your dad, you say hi to him. He was a wonderful example. And I say that because this is what he suffered for well-doing. He had a really good job. And they were getting a little maybe crooked or different things, deceiving in things. And he couldn't work for them any longer. And so he went and had to quit that job and go to another one. And he only did it. They wanted him there. He was great at his work. And then I've told you about another man there at Intercity. We didn't see that family there. That actually ended up building Comerica Park and Ford Field. But he suffered. Now, sometimes it's not that big. But we got to realize that that's going to happen when you do right. And you're just going to have to take it sometime. 1 Peter 4:19 says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Is God everything in his will, everything for your life? Well, you need to live this way. Be willing to. Okay, if there's something come up, will I? Am I there? And then lastly, number 6, be saturated with thankfulness. Notice what Scripture says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, what? It could be something great, thank God. It could be something bad, thank God. I mean, we were walking yesterday and at the tournament, and I was thinking, I think I told her later, and says, yeah, I was doing the same thing. I was just thanking God that God gave me a healthy body that I could walk. We need to thank God for that's God's will for you. Did you know that? It's God's will for you to be saturated about everything, the good and the bad. So here, think of all these things. Is it God's will for these 6 things in your life? You answer it for me. Of course. It says this is God's will. A priority should be God's will. And what's he say? The Father said, I do it. So asked question to stir your conscience. What do you do to do God's will? I know, English teacher, it's a bad one, but that's what I came up with that I want to do. Hell's there. What do you do to do God's word, will? You know what you do? Whatever you want. John MacArthur mentioned that when I listened and read one of his messages on this very passage, on these things here that we went up. And he says, what you do is whatever you want. You see what he's getting at? I'll explain a little farther in a second. But if you are what? If you're in God's will, if you're what? Dependent on him, intimacy with him. In other words, if you're saved, if you're spirit-filled, if you're submissive to authority, if you're sanctified, if you're willing to suffer and just keep doing right, if you're saturated with thankfulness, then whatever you do is God's will. How do we come about that? Well, wait a second. You're only going to want to do what? What God wants you to do. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Psalm 37:4-5 says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, good, I get whatever I want. That's back up. Delight thyself in the Lord. And to delight thyself in the Lord, you'd have to be doing what? All these things that God's telling us about in his will. And if you commit your way to that, you trust in him, then he'll bring it to pass and show you. When I was wondering what God's had for me in this area. We knew that sometime down the line, it was, and we will show you why it really sped up, which I believe God showed us the timing. Because, you know, I've been very open about, we know we're not going to be here forever. And so one of the things I had to come to in this decision, I had to go back to every one of these points, these truths. I did this and had a mental conversation with God, whether it was a long or short one. I had to go back and say, Lord, I don't believe there's anything between my soul and the Savior. There's no making these decisions because of this or that. But I believe my heart is really right with you, so I get to do what I want. And you know what I want? Only God's will. So then I had to find some more. Okay, I want God's will, but is this God's will? So now I got to go forward a little bit and look at God's will discerned and realize that I first of all need to search the scriptures. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct thy paths. There are some things I was wondering, am I leaning on my own understanding? I had to go back to, where's my heart? Because you know something, when the Spirit of God is working in you, controlling, you'll go and you'll know whether you're honest with yourself or not. You just do. And I realize that when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When you're full and controlled by the Spirit, the Word of God, when thou goest, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it will keep you. When you're awake, it will talk with you. And so, I've been searching the scriptures for quite a bit, seeing if God would, and there's nothing that, so many times we go like this, oh yeah, I got a verse. Nope, there's no verse that God gave me about this decision. But there's a lot, if you take it all together, there was a crop of scriptures. It just didn't say, Mark, do this. So we, first of all, when you've got to, first of all, remember, first of all, you've got to be living for God, and those first that already it's God's will. Don't start doing something else and try to find this. In other words, there's a decision that you have to make about something. The first thing you should be doing, not praying to God, will you open this door, or will you show me whether I should buy this car, or do this or that, or go here or there. The first thing you need to go is, okay, where am I in God's eyes? Okay, I'm saved. Am I controlled by the Spirit? If not, what should you do? Let the Spirit control you. If you're not sanctified, what should you do? Repent of your sin and get controlled by the Spirit. Be willing to suffer. If you're not, be thankful. And so then you need, that's the first thing you need to go to. And honestly, I had to look at myself. Even Brenda reminded me. Okay, Mark, what are you? Because she was very, talk about a submissive wife. She's been knowing this and wanting this for a while. But she just submitted and said, well, the Lord will show us when it is time and will make it clear to us. And as I go further, I will say this right now in case I forget. Sometimes I would go like this and wonder, and I'd say, okay, I'm not going to do it. And I had no peace at all to stay. Because I believe God's got another man for you that can do things that I can't and take you spiritually and grow to the next level. And you'll be excited. And so I first of all had to search scripture. Then what do I have to do? I never prayed or talked to the Lord. Of course, I prayed and relied on the Holy Spirit that I might walk in the Spirit, be controlled by it. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall speak, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So I prayed, and I relied on the Spirit of God, and I didn't jump ahead. I waited on God. Brenda knows. I waited on, I didn't know. And we would come up, talk about things, and then say, well, it's a couple years down the road, possibly. And I just didn't know, but I didn't give away, say it is or isn't. I said, I just don't know. I remember when I was 65, I told the deacons, I said, I'm going to be revisiting this. I don't know. It could be before then or after, but I'll revisit it when I'm 70. I remember right when I said it at the deacons meeting, and guess what? I revisited when I was 70. Well, a little before, but only a... Theologically, I was 70, all right? I prayed and relied on the Holy Spirit. Then you realize that in praying and relying on the Holy Spirit, if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God. Remember what that is? I went over that on a Wednesday night. When it said, the mode that that's in, let him ask of God, did you know that's a command for you to ask God for wisdom? It's not an option. God commands every one of you as believers, me as a believer, you ask God for wisdom. And guess what he's promised to do? If you ask in his name and will and stay in his will, he's going to answer you. Be careful with the answer. The answer's coming, though. So then what I did, what you need to do is you need to seek godly, mature counsel. I did. And in that counsel, I have different ones. There's no one that counseled me opposite of what the decision we made. There was no one. And when Marshall Fant came, who works with this, with pastors and churches and all the time of new pastors, he's my age, and he had to do this after 21 years, after a businessman, then 21 years in a church. And I had given him, I said, what do you, it was at lunch, and I had given him a date that I thought, and it was way down the road. And I said, I need to know, what do you think of that? And your wisdom and yours. And he looked, and I said, what? And he said to me, are you asking me what I think? And he said, yeah. I said, yes. I said, when should I leave for the folks? And he said, June. Now. And I, inside, that's what I told him. I bristled. No way. I said, so I'll do it in September. And I kept on that, and I didn't bristle. I just kept waiting, and I talked to the Lord and kept meditating on it, conversing, meditating on it, and started seeing some different things, some things that I looked at, but I listened to that godly and mature counsel. Because Scripture says, where no counselors, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And I went to a few. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy later end. May I add one more counsel that I got? That probably... knowing that this is right to do, it didn't have anything to do with the timing, but to do it. And that is, Gretchen Fant said, you know what we've done, and what I think is very wise is because Brother Fant in that said, you have a very healthy church, this is the time to go, to help them move forward. And Gretchen Hans said, you know what we've done? We've listened to our kids, the counsel of our kids, because a lot of times they know certain things. So you know what I did? I took that counsel. Yes, it was counsel from a woman. Oh, wise counsel. And I called each one of my kids individually. Spent time talking to them. They all wanted to, and the guys were different times here. The girls were the ones that sort of made me straighten up. One of them said, thought it should be now, but if you think it's God, you know, timing, whatever, you know better than I, whatever, Dad. But one of them, and I'll even give you a name so you can get after her. But Ashley, I think I've told you this before, as far as me, but this is where it came from. She said, Dad, I've been struggling with different things here at the ministry, in my ministry there, and the church there, and the church pastors, and everyone's said this to me. Where's your identity? Is your identity in what you do? Or is it in God? And she said, in other words, when I wake up in the morning, is God enough? And one of the things I was struggling with was this full-time Christian service thing, because my whole life, I have done nothing but in full-time paid Christian service. And now I'm going to where it's non-paid, get a job, and serve the church. Same way, as far as help the church, and by the way, the church that we're going to, God, I text him this morning, he said, be praying for me. And he said, and I said, it's a hard time. The text, he texted me back a little phrase, and I said to myself, he's going to be my pastor. And he's wise. And he said, love brings anguish. Because I was wondering if I loved you or not. No, he says, love brings anguish. And so I started realizing, I do want to identify that God is enough. But I've been letting some things slip and think that, well, people are going to think that I'm this. Because I know so many people, so many preachers, so many, and they're going to say, oh, he's, what's he doing this for? He's young, he's all fit, he's ready. But this is what God has. And I realize what my identity is. And so I heeded counsel. And then you need to evaluate the circumstances. Let me help you, or I should say, show you how I came to the point using this point in my life. It says, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Remember when we pray, God says that he knows before you ask, because he's the one that's put in your heart. Scripture says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Not whether they are of God. Talking about doctrine or false teaching. But the principle that we might have, that it might be what God wants for you. And so what I do is I wait on the Lord to see if they are of the Lord. The circumstance that came about really speeding this up, because I mentioned to you how I had thought a couple years or something, was a year ago last June. We were with Andre and Ethan on a vacation there. And we were sitting down. I said, I want to talk to you guys. And the kids put to bed. And I said, I want to talk to you, and I want to talk turkey. I want to be as straight as can be. We come down. Do you want us to come down here and live here? They said, yes. And I said, when? And they said, last year. And so one thing was, it's wonderful to be wanted. And so we realized where we were going to go. Then we started talking about, you know, the thing about when it's, I just don't know, because we don't have money to get it. We don't have a house. We don't have money to get a house. And we were trying to talk about how we could go together or something, and it'd be their home, but how we could go together and maybe get one. And Ethan, because he's a home improvement, would start looking around for places. And so when, with that in mind, honestly, in my mind, thought, that ain't going to happen for a while. It's just not going to. Wasn't that ours, Brenda? Really, we were. And then as we were there, the whole family was together down in there in Thanksgiving time. And this property came available that Ethan, years before, was trying to get, but didn't get it. And it became available. And so he talked, but didn't know whether the guy would call him back or even let him do it, because he had family that he'd probably sell it back to or whatever. And Ethan got contacted by him. And it came in $85,000 less than Ethan thought it would. And Ethan is a home improvement. He knows the prices. And a long story short, they closed on it at the end of February. I've already told many of you this, but do you know where that property is? Right next door to Ethan and Andrea. And they only think, they don't have a big house on it, but they had a garage with a utility apartment in the back, like a two-bedroom, probably about 600 square foot place, 600 to 700 square foot place, that Ethan's going to add a bedroom suite onto it. So we now have two bedrooms, so you can come and visit us and stay with us. And when he did that, that was probably the biggest thing that God did, I think, physically, for me, to know it's time. And when I said that to the fans, they said, "Mark, you have a place to go." And you've got to realize, but I've got to make sure that the first part of this, I'm right with God. As I look at those circumstances, are they circumstances that the Spirit is of God, not what I want or what I try to make? Don't we try to do that so many times? Well, I'm going to try to fix this. I'm going to do this instead of, okay, I'm doing my responsibility. Now, let God do what he wants to do. Don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge God, and he'll direct thy paths. And then you seek the peace of God. The Bible says, "Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And it, God has brought me such a peace. In fact, I've been really turmoiled for this last month, the month and a half. And I've tried to even think, okay, if I don't do this, and when I said, okay, I'm not going to, I go, I have no peace about that. So that tells me God has someone for you. And I don't want to stand in that way. But I want to help you find that man. For the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And I can even tell you, I've been so turmoil with this since about 12 o'clock, 11:45, 12 o'clock this morning. In fact, after the service, when I came and mentioned that, I went over home. I arrived home and looked at Brenda, and I said, "Brenda, I feel like myself again. There is just a peace that passed understand that I've been just..." Because there's been different ones have been said. The other Wednesday night when you were saying, we were talking about different things, Will and Gary, and you said something, and I'm going, "Oh boy." But that's all things God's showing me. Yeah, this is time. And he gave me a peace that passes understanding. So we have to realize this. God will reveal his specific will to you. Going way back to the first slide. God will reveal his specific will to you if you're in his will. And then the general will will happen. As you live that life, you'll do what God wants you to do. I know do what you want can go, if you say that, but it's true as far as the fact you'll desire what God wants for you. That God's will, nothing more, nothing less. I trust that's helped you in finding different things for your own life. But I try to use different illustrations, and there's more. But I wanted to give you that tonight to show you. And if you have any questions, in fact, in a moment we'll be going offline and we have some things to take care of. All right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus.